From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming, voanews.id. Hello listeners, welcome back to the English service from Voice of Indonesia. Today, be ready for more information coming from Indonesia. We got so many updates about our country, and we got so many good music, and also information about our tourism places, or maybe our culture. Today, I'm Stewart as well, will be in here with you for the next 60 minutes. And now we would like to begin with the news. Stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Here is the news first, the headlines. President Joko Widodo tells prospective TNI and police cadets to uphold state ideology. Ministry of Finance disperses 2.9 trillion rupiah funding to COVID-19 task force. Now the news in details. President Joko Widodo asks prospective military and police cadets to abide by Indonesia's ideology and national goals. Escorted by Antaranus agency briefing the prospective cadets virtually from Jakarta on Wednesday, he affirmed that candidates for teenage cadets or Capaja of the Indonesian Military TNI and the National Police Polri must be consistent with the ideology of the state, Pancasila, the Unitary States of the Republic of Indonesia, and the United in Diversity. The president also stated that the candidates who would soon be inducted have trained for 4 years and developed high levels of discipline and expertise. The president is certain that keeping up with the demands of rigorous training could not have been easy. He then reminded the prospective cadets to act in accordance with the great goals of the nation and prepare to face a world with increasingly complex challenges. The Finance Ministry disbursed funding worth 2.9 trillion rupiah out of the 3.5 trillion rupiah budgeted for the COVID-19 handling task force. This was stated by Senior Advisor to Finance Minister for State Expenditure, Kunta Wibawa Dasanugraha, during a virtual discussion on Wednesday. As quoted by Antaranus Agency, he stated that the largest funding realization is for the National Disaster Mitigation Agency, BNPB. He also stated that of the total 3.5 trillion rupiah of the budget, the government has disbursed 2.9 trillion rupiah. The funding was directed to procure personal protection equipment, PPE, healthcare devices, and COVID-19 test kits, as well as for medical treatment, mobilization and logistic, quarantine, and repatriation of Indonesians abroad. In the meantime, Kunta Wibawa noted that only 1.4 trillion rupiah of the total budget of 9.05 trillion rupiah for tax incentive in the health sector was realized. Russian government stated that its side is developing COVID-19 vaccine. Currently, some trials are conducted to complete the vaccine, so at the end of 2020, it is expected to be used comprehensively. This was stated by Russian ambassador to Indonesia, Lyudmila Vorobieva, in her statement to journalists virtually in Jakarta on Wednesday. She explained that each country has the same right over the COVID-19 vaccine. Therefore, Russia shares its experience openly if the vaccine will have been discovered.
New drugs have been developed. Also, I would like to, I didn't say that in my presentation, that we're working on the vaccine for COVID-19. I know that the vaccine is now being trialed on volunteers, I mean on human beings already, and the results so far are quite positive. So we hope that this trial will be completed by September. That means by the end of the year, probably we can have the anti-COVID-19 vaccine. And we're ready to share our experience with our partners and friends. Because as I mentioned, our principal position is that every country, big or small, rich or underdeveloped, should have access to the vaccine that could prevent COVID-19 to happen again.
Moreover, World Health Organization data mentioned that until July 7, 2020, COVID-19 has infected more than 11.5 million people around the world and has caused more than 500,000 people dead. Meanwhile, Ambassador Ludmila stated that in Russia, the number of COVID-19 cases has reached 700,000 cases by having more than 21.5 million people tested. British Chancellor Rishi Sunak will announce £2 billion sterling kickstart scheme later to create more jobs for young people. The fund will subsidize six-month work placement for people on universal credit aged between 16 and 24 who are at risk of long-term unemployment. Nuka Kusumawati has the details.
And are actually better compared to what we outlined at budget, where we outlined a 600 billion...
Hundreds of thousands of new high-quality subsidised jobs will be created, the British government said. The CBI praised the scheme as a much-needed down payment in young people's futures, and unions said it was a good first step. For each Kickstarter's job, the government will cover the cost of 25 hours work a week at the national minimum wage, £4.55 sterling for under 18, £6.45 sterling for 18 to 20 years old, and £8.20 sterling for 21 to 24 years old. British Chancellor Rishi Sunak explained on Tuesday to the British Parliament that the government has protected and supported the income for people who is vulnerable to job loss during the pandemic.
Through the Coronavirus Job Retention Scheme and the Self-Employment Income Support Scheme, the government has protected 9.4 million jobs and supported the incomes of 2.7 million self-employed. I remain committed to helping the unemployed return to work and supporting those most vulnerable to job loss. We will continue to monitor economic conditions to ensure our labour market policy response is both appropriate and effective.
The government also said it would allow young people the opportunity to build their skills in the workplace and to gain experience that will improve their chances of going on to find long-term sustainable work. The scheme will open for application in August, with the first jobs expected to start in the autumn and run until December 2021. With the option of being extended.
With regard to the self-employment scheme, 95% of those who are majority self-employed are able to benefit from that scheme. Also, in terms of the scheme design and the duration with which it lasts, the breadth of its coverage and the generosity of its support, it remains the most generous and comprehensive self-employment support scheme in the world.
The scheme will cover England, Scotland and Wales, and the government said it would provide additional funding to Northern Ireland for a similar scheme. But Scotland, Wales and Northern Ireland are also calling for fiscal rules to be relaxed to allow them to borrow more and spend unused capital funding to address the monumental challenges of the economy.
This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. New Jersey adopted a stringent coronavirus face mask order on Wednesday, and New York City unveiled a plan to allow public school students back into classroom for just 2 or 3 days a week. As newly confirmed, U.S. COVID-19 cases soared to a daily global record. As stated by Reuters, the officials in New Jersey and New York, the hardest hit state at the outset of the U.S. outbreak, are trying to preserve progress in curtailing spread of the virus in the face of the resurgence elsewhere across the country, especially the South and West. According to Reuters' tally, more than 47,000 people have died of COVID-19 in the two northwestern states, accounting more than a third of the 132,000-plus Americans killed by the virus. More than 60,000 new COVID-19 infections were reported across the United States on Wednesday, the greatest single-day tally of cases by any country since the virus emerged late last year in China. Kenyan Minister of Sport and Culture Amina Mohamed will run to be the next Director General of the World Trade Organization, WTO. This was stated by the spokesperson of the WTO officials on Wednesday. The WTO official said, for Amina Mohamed, the WTO officials can confirm that it received her nomination from Kenya. As reported by Reuters, the Geneva-based body is seeking a replacement for Brazil, Roberto Azevedo, who is going to step down a year early at the end of August at a critical juncture for the trade watchdog. His successor will need to steer reforms and negotiation in the face of rising protectionisms, a deep recession caused by the COVID-19 pandemic, and growing trade tensions, notably between the United States and China. Amina Mohamed, a former Kenyan ambassador to WTO, and the first woman to chair the WTO's General Council in 2005, is the sixth candidate to be officially nominated, alongside others from Egypt, Nigeria, South Korea, Mexico, and Moldova. Britain will nominate former Cabinet Minister Liam Fox to be the new chief of the World Trade Organization. This was reported by a journalist for the Spectator's political magazine on Wednesday. As reported by Reuters, Spectator's political editor James Forsyth said on Twitter, without elaborating that he understands the UK will nominate Liam Fox to be Director General of the World Trade Organization. Fox supporters of Brexit serve as Britain's Trade Secretary under the administration of former Prime Minister Theresa May. Spain Foreign Minister Arancha González Laya on Wednesday ruled out running to be the new chief of the World Trade Organization. It would be prudent to rule out any candidacy to the WTO top job, she said in an interview to news agency Europa Press, streamed live on the internet on Wednesday morning. Escorted by Reuters, nominations for the WTO's top job were open until Wednesday, and González Laya had been considered as a possible candidate. The World Trade Organization WTO is looking for a new boss. It won't be easy to fill the job. Roberto Azevedo, the WTO's sixth Director General, will leave the post on August 31st. Nomination for his replacement, a process already in full swing, formally starts on June 8, and the WTO issued a consolidated list of candidates on July 8. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nico Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
Listener, here's today's commentary titled Increasing Indonesian Furniture Industry Product Export. Indonesia is a country with abundant forest resources. Indonesian forest is as big as 125 million hectares with 29 million hectares productive forest. Ironically, despite having abundant forest resources, Indonesian furniture export is still less than Vietnam. Indonesian Lightwood Association assessed that Indonesia is a tropical country with extraordinary land area, but the export is still under Vietnam. In the last few years, Indonesian furniture industry exports have kept showing an increased trend. Industry Ministry data showed that in 2016, the Indonesian furniture industry export was $1.60 billion, increasing into $1.63 billion in 2017, and kept increasing into $1.69 billion in 2018. In 2019, according to the Central Statistics Bureau, Indonesia could export wooden furniture for around $1.95 billion, increasing 14.6% from 2018. Considering the amount, Indonesian furniture export trend is actually increasing. However, this growth is quite smaller compared to Vietnam, which was able to grow for 38% from the last 3 years, or averagely 16% per year. There are some issues to be fixed, so Indonesian furniture exports can increase significantly and surpass Vietnam. The main problem that makes Indonesian furniture export increase still moderate or insignificant was that Indonesian furniture export or products are more expensive. Actually, Indonesian furniture product type and variety are similar to the ones owned by the Vietnam. To overcome this problem, Indonesian government needs to improve the timber commerce, since timber commerce also makes Indonesian furniture industry products uncompetitive compared to the similar products from other countries. Besides, the government also needs to waive the added value tax for round timber. Another issue that also makes Indonesian furniture industry export less competitive is the low ability of most business people to create products with interesting design and innovation. Another obstacle that burdens the business people and exporters to make the furniture export expand is regulation. An example of regulation that burdens the exporters is wood certification. With the obstacle, Indonesian government needs to carry out the regulation towards wood policy that can smoothen and increase Indonesian furniture export significantly. And listener, that was the commentary.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, here is Today in History. In our regular program Today in History, we start from an event on July 9th, 1976 on Palapa A1. Indonesia launched the first satellite, namely Palapa A1 from Kennedy Space Center, Canaveral Bay, the United States of America. Since then, every July 9th is commemorated as Palapa Satellite Day. At the time, after the United States of America and Canada, Indonesia was the third country in the world which operated domestic satellite communication system by using GSO satellite geostationary orbit. Afterwards, until now, there are many new satellites whose functions are increasingly sophisticated and can help daily human activities. Next event is that in 2002, African Union was established. Union of Africa was a union consisting of 54 African states. Only Morocco did not join the Union of Africa. Established on July 9, 2002, the Union of Africa was present as successor of Organization of African Unity. The most important point of the decision of African Union was made by the Assembly of African Union in the meeting of state heads and the governments of member countries. The Secretary and Commission of the African Union have headquarters in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia. The last event is that in 2011, South Sudan obtained its independence. South Sudan is located in East Africa. The country was originally part of the Republic of Sudan since its independence in 1956. After the First Sudan Civil War, the autonomous region of Southern Sudan was formed in 1972 and lasted until 1983. Then the Second Sudanese Civil War occurred and ended with the 2005 Comprehensive Peace Agreement. Later that year, the Southern Sudan Autonomous Government was formed. South Sudan became an independent nation on July 9, 2011 at midnight local time after a referendum which was held in January 2011 and resulted in around 99% of voters choosing to secede from Sudan. Well, listener, that's Today in History, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Di sini rumah kita yang terindah di dunia.
Terima kasih.
everybody, but you are still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Next, we'll present to you My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's My Indonesia, titled Indonesian House Appreciates Forest and Land Rehabilitation Absorbing Workers. Indonesian House of Representatives appreciates the Ministry of Environment and Forestry's community empowerment-based programs. This was stated by member of the House of Representatives Commission 4, Sutrisno, on Saturday, July 4, during his visit to the Majalengka Forest Management Unit, Pancur Forest Resort, Majalengka Regency, West Java, along with Minister of Environment and Forestry, Siti Nurbaya Bakar. This visit was a review and supervision of forest and land rehabilitation activities in the area. Sutrisno said that he had witnessed that the Ministry of Environment and Forestry program during the COVID-19 era had been running in the community, such as the Bank Pesona program or National Social Forestry Development, which empowering the community. Sutrisno added, he knew well the area around the site, which is rocky and not well organized yet. Even as a protected forest, the community cannot touch it. Even though Majalengka has strategic locations to be developed into natural tourism, Minister Siti Nurbaya expressed her gratitude and appreciation for the support of the House's Commission 4 toward the performance of the Ministry of Environment and Forestry. Therefore, the minister asked her staffs to increase the land rehabilitation efforts by involving the community. Communities must be given economic benefits from planting trees. Minister Siti Nurbaya explained that government is currently completing regulations related to carbon economic value with several other ministries or institutions. Minister Siti Nurbaya said the community must be informed that planting trees has benefit economically from carbon. For this reason, the Ministry of Environment and Forestry always present for the community around the forest, especially during this COVID-19 pandemic, until the transition to the end of COVID-19, forest and land rehabilitation activities can be a means of work facility of the community, thereby they can earn income. Forest and land rehabilitation is carried out through tree planting, construction activities of soil, and water conservation buildings, such as retaining dams to guard it from landslides and large erosion. That was My Indonesia.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Kamu tak akan pernah membuat diriku kecewa.
You are still with us, Voice of Indonesia. Next, we'll bring you into deeper parts of Indonesia to know our culture or our tourism places. Next is the Indonesian Wonder.
Welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. Today I'm going to let you know about Kali Suci Cave Tubing. On June 26, 2020, Kali Suci became one of the places which visited by actor and singer from South Korea, Lee Seung-gi, and also an actor from Taiwan, Jasper Liu, in variety show Together that shows in Netflix. Kali Suci is the second tourism destination which was visited by the two artists. Kali Suci is chosen as tourism destination because tourists can go down the river which flows through beautiful underground with cave tubing. Cave tubing is a combination activity of downing the cave and rafting. This tourism activity is an adventure trip by using tube downing the river. Kali Suci Tourism Area is located in Jetis Hamlet, Pacarejo Village, Semanusab District, Gunung Kidul Regency, Yogyakarta. To go there, you are required to pay an entrance ticket of 80,000 rupiah per person. When going to do cave tubing, each participant is equipped with a buoy and helmet as a safety device. The cave tubing route in Kali Suci is quite long, around 700 meters, through several spots, namely Luang Glatik, Glatik Cave, and Luang Gelung, for 1.5 hours to 2 hours. The river flows in these caves has 5 to 10 meters wide with very clear water. During the rafting and tubing cave, you can see the beauty of the cave ornaments such as stalactites and stalagmites and ecosystems in the cave, as well as bats hanging from the ceiling of the cave. Watching the life in this cave will make your trip more memorable, especially the path at the cave in the darkness with flashlight lighting. Cave tubing activity in Kali Suci cannot doing any time. There are certain and best times for cave tubing to avoid danger. The right time for cave tubing in Kali Suci is the beginning of dry season and the beginning of rainy season. Kali Suci Cave Tubing Area is one of the Gunung Sewu geosites. Gunung Sewu Geopark has an area of approximately 1,802 square kilometers and has 33 geosites. Gunung Sewu has also been included in the Global Geopark Network, GGN, in the Asia-Pacific Global Network, which was endorsed by UNESCO in Sanin, Kaigan, Japan in 2015. Gunung Sewu is one of the 120 global geoparks from 33 countries in the world. That was our segment of Indonesian Wonder. Tomorrow we will meet again with another interesting topic. Goodbye.
Kau catat keretaku tiba pukul 4 sore. Tak usah kau tanya, aku ceritakan nanti. Hei cantik, kemana saja? Tak ada berita, sedikit cerita. Tak ku baca lagi pesan di ujung malam. Jakarta muram kehilanganmu. Terang lampu kota tak lagi sama. Sudah saatnya kau tengok puing yang tertinggal. Sampai kapan akan selalu berlari? Hingga kini masih selalu ku nanti-nanti. Terbawa lagi langkahku ke sana. Mantra apa entah yang istimewa. Ku percaya selalu ada sesuatu di Jogja. Dengar lagu lama ini katanya. Izinkan aku pulang ke kotamu. Ku percaya selalu ada sesuatu di Jogja. Hey cantik, bawa aku jalan. Jalan kaki saja menyusuri kota. Ceritakan semua ceritamu padaku. Ya Jakarta, diam kehilanganmu. Bau wangi hujan tak lagi sama. Kau jemput musik yang tertinggal. Sampai kapan aku kan bernyanyi sendiri? Hingga kini masih selalu menanti-nanti. Terbawa lagi langkahku ke sana. Mantra apa entah yang istimewa. Ku percaya selalu ada sesuatu di Jogja. Dengar lagu lama ini katanya. Izinkan aku pulang ke kotamu. Ku percaya selalu ada sesuatu di Jogja. Ingat waktu itu ku bertanya. Aku mau dengar jawabnya. Terbawa lagi langkahku ke sana. Mantra apa entah yang istimewa. Ku percaya selalu ada sesuatu di Jogja. Dengar lagu lama ini katanya. Izinkan aku pulang ke kotamu. Ku percaya selalu ada sesuatu di Jogja.
More information about Indonesia is coming up shortly. Next, you'll be listening to the Miscellany.
Listeners, welcome back in our regular segment Miscellany. In today's edition, we present you information on electric bicycle of West Nusa Tenggara goes to the world. The proud news comes from the Indonesian small and medium industry, which succeeded to produce electric bicycles and have been marketed abroad. The electric bicycle has a name, Lombok E-Bike Builder, or LeBU. The electric bicycle have been exported to the United States of America, Australia, Norway, and Britain. Price of the electric bicycle is starting from 15 million rupiah until 100 million rupiah, depending on the model and specification of the bike. The electric bicycle has existed since 2016. One of the characteristics of Libu bicycle products is electric power with a sporty concept. Battery capacity and mileage are also made different. It depends on the budget and market demand. The minimum distance that can be covered is 30 kilometers with charge duration of 2 to 4 hours. There is also a bike which can travel until 150 kilometers for one usage. The bigger the budget, the farther the distance to travel. Gede Sukarma Dijaya, the owner of the Lebu, thought that the idea to make the electric bicycle is from his initiative to modify the conventional bicycle to be electric one. He needed around 1 month to produce one unit. He started designing, printing the frame and cutting iron and forming the model. Then he welded and painted the bike. The electric bike is made originally and his own creativity. Because the electric bicycle is handmade, so its price is expensive. In the future, the electric bicycle can produce by manufacturers so that prices are cheaper. That was our segment miscellany for today. Thanks for listening.
Listener, next we are going to bring you an information about a good song from Indonesia. Stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Listener, welcome back to Music Corner. Today we present Ermi Kulit with a song Rela. This female singer, who comes from Manado, started her career in Indonesian jazz music in the 1970s. The song titled Rela, which is contained in Ermi Kulit album, also used as the title of the album, which was released in September 2017. This song tells about someone who is falling in love, but left by the lover. Despite the broken heart, life must go on. Therefore, she tried to accept and let the lover go. Although the song Rela tells the story of broken heart, the music, lyrics, rhythm, and strong and distinctive vocal characteristic of Ermi Kulit, this song very enjoyable to listen. Well, listener, let's listen to Ermi Kulit with the song Rela. Enjoy the song.
Cintaku merana.
Voice of Indonesia.
Dalam mimpiku
Thank you very much for listeners who have been joining us. Do not forget to send your criticism and suggestion. You can send it to our email, voi@voinews.id, or our Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia. I'm Stefan as well. Thank you very much for listening. Stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.